We'll begin reading this morning in verse number 22. I want to share a thought with you. The Lord magnified this thought again and actually built upon it in my heart yesterday. And I want to see if I can get this across this morning. I believe it'll be a blessing. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, God, to be able to stand and open this Bible. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us to glean truth. Lord, that would help us in our daily walk. God, I appreciate so very much your faithfulness down through the years. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would be more and more aware in these days of contrary wind of your faithfulness to the people of God. God, we pray that you would help us to be faithful. Lord, we know that you will abide faithful. God, we pray today that you'll take the words of this message and speak to our hearts. God, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus, that the precious Holy Spirit, Lord, would do his office work in convicting that individual, showing that individual their need of a Savior that loved them and died for them and rose again the third day, that they might have life and have it abundantly and have it eternal. Lord, I pray today that you'd just deliver through us, our Father, a message that would be a help. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last Sunday morning, I began talking about the little thought, the little phrase in the Word of God, "Be of good cheer." And we looked last Sunday morning at the Word of God, where in Matthew chapter number 9, there was a man that was sick of the palsy. And the Word of God said, Jesus, he's seeing their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." There's one thing for sure, our Lord's forgiveness of our sin ought to cause us to be of good cheer. I thought about as the choir sang this morning, to be able to say, "I know." Hallelujah. If I couldn't say anything else in the whole wide world, just to be able to say, "I know I'm saved." You know what that's saying? That's saying that I know if I breathe my last breath today, heaven will be my home. That's saying if Jesus steps out on that cloud in the next few minutes and says, come up hither, I'm part of that crowd that's going to go and be with Him. Amen. We ought to be of good cheer because of our Lord's forgiveness of our sin. But today I want to magnify another thought, and it's in my heart, and I pray that God will help me to get it out. I want to look at our Lord's faithfulness in our storms. Not just our Lord's forgiveness of our sin should cause us to be of good cheer, but I tell you, our Lord's faithfulness in our storms. There's all kinds of storms. I don't know what happened yesterday as I was reading, but it just seemed like that the contrary wind got real big as I was reading it. It seems like to me that Brother Deku magnified in Sunday school how that in the island of Fiji that there is a contrary wind to the doctrine of Christ and to the gospel of Christ. But who would have ever thought we'd see such contrary wind in the United States of America? But I tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, I believe we ought to be of good cheer. There might be contrary wind on every side, but thank God there's somebody that's in control of the storm. And I believe with all of my heart the Lord wants us to magnify some truth this morning that'll help us to be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Our Lord is faithful. I want to show you something, a couple of things here today in the Word of God. I want you to see, first of all, we ought to be of good cheer because our Lord is faithful in the purpose of the storm. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, I'll try to help you in just a few minutes. I want you to see some things here. In verse number 22, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship. What I want to magnify for just a minute is God has a purpose in this. In other words, these men were not being disobedient. They were being obedient. We've got some TV evangelists today that tell you if there's a storm in your life, it must be because of a lack of faith. It must be because of disobedience in your life. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it is. Somebody help me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can be doing exactly what the Master said to do and yet face an incredible storm in the midst of your obedience to Him. Jesus told him to go. He said, He constrained His disciples. He said, I want you to get in the ship. He said, I want you to go before to the other side. While He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain to pray. I want to say this to you this morning. Please help me right here, Lord, help me. They did not know the storm was coming. But thank God there was somebody on the mountain praying, amen, that knew the storm was coming. I don't know about you, but one phone call can change your life forever, amen. I'm telling you right now, our Lord knew about the storm before the storm ever got there. And our Lord directed them into the storm. I'll just say this to you. We would be very weak as God's people if it weren't for the ability that God has given us to weather some storms in this life. Amen. We're not going to get strong in the sunshine. We're going to get strong in the valley. That's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to discover the lily. That's where we're going to discover His sweetness. That's where we're going to discover His purpose for our life. Amen. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. He's faithful in the storm. I want you to see this right here with me just for a moment. Turn over with me to Mark chapter number 6 for just a moment. If you read all of these accounts, and I hope that you'll go home and read them all, because it's important to read each account of the storm in Matthew and Mark and then in John, because there's different things magnified in each one of the accounts. In Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 50, I believe is where I want to look for just a minute. The Bible said here, for they all saw Him and they were troubled. And immediately the Bible said, He talked with them and He saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I want you to understand that because the Lord knew that there was a purpose in the storm, the Lord was going to show up in the storm. Look with me back up in verse number 45. Straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while He sent away the people. When He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and He was alone on the land. You say, preacher, what did He see? Watch what the Bible said. He saw them toiling and rowing,
for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. Can I say something to you? I was able to attend the tent meeting a couple of nights last week up in Bristol. And I tell you, God helped us on Tuesday night in that meeting. I know that. I haven't got to talk to Brother John. I wanted to be there so bad Friday night to hear Brother Bishop. I bet it was good, wasn't it, Brother John? That man of God's got a touch of God on him, amen. But I tell you right now, I just noticed that it just seems like the atmosphere in meetings is just kind of, Brother Grizzle, dwindling down and dwindling down and dwindling down. I tell you, I believe God's given me an answer. You know what's happening? We're getting tired. We're rowing and we're toiling. Amen. And it's contrary winds. Your kids go to school and it's contrary. You turn on the news and it's contrary. Get in the Supreme Court and it's contrary. You get in the Senate and it's contrary. I'm just telling you, we're rowing and we're toiling and we're getting tired. But God would say this morning, be of good cheer. There's somebody standing on the land while we're in the midst of the storm. He's got his eye on us. He wants to encourage us. And there's a purpose for the storm. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my life. Oh, my friend, this morning, the thing, hallelujah, I can make it. Jesus, give me my oar. I'll pour on it with both hands. Long as I know you got your eye on me. Long as I know you're praying for me. Long as I know I'm in your will. Long as I know you told me to get in the boat. Long as I know you told me to go to the other side. I'm just going to keep pulling. Keep pulling. Keep pulling. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart, our Lord's faithfulness ought to cause us to be of good cheer. In the midst of the storm, we ought to realize there's a purpose in the storm. Secondly, this morning, if God would help us, I want us to see not only that we ought to be of good cheer because He has a purpose in the storm, but let me just say this to you, because of His presence in the storm. You say, preacher, how in the world can you know He's present? Well, because, you see, they hadn't even got to this place yet in the lives of the disciples. But you and I have done got to the place when a man gets saved, the Holy Ghost of God takes up His abode in that man and seals that man till the day of redemption. And thereby God can say, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You say, preacher, I tell you, I've been in some storms and I couldn't find Him. I want you to know, just because you couldn't find Him, that didn't mean He wasn't there. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, friend of mine, that His presence in the storm ought to cause us to be of good cheer. Turn over to the book of Acts with me for just a moment. The book of Acts. And we'll go back here for just a moment with the disciples. But I want you to see His presence in the storm, in the life of Paul. Then we'll go back to the disciples as well. The book of Acts, chapter number 23 and verse number 11. The Bible said, in the night following, the Lord stood by him. And he said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also at Rome. I want to ask you something. What do you think that meant to Paul? Don't you believe that there was a lot of uncertainty in Paul's life? When you go back over and you look at the disciples here, look in Matthew just a moment again, in chapter number 14. Let's look at something here. The Bible said here, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were troubled. You say, preacher, they saw Jesus and they were troubled. No, I tell you, friend, they thought they saw a ghost. They thought they saw a spirit. Amen. And they were troubled. Amen. They were not seeing clearly. I'm going to tell you something right now. It doesn't matter how you've grown in your faith and how you've matured in your faith. There'll be some storms come in your life and my life when we will just not see as clearly, amen, as we ought to see. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Watch this now. Watch this. The Bible said, they said, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. There was uncertainty in their lives. But I'm going to tell you right now, they were uncertain of who he was. They were uncertain of his presence. But the Bible's talking about here when he speaks, watch this now. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if that's the truth, if it's you, if it's really you, Lord, then bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus gives him one word. He said, come. Hallelujah. I tell you, old Peter's criticized. Yes, he is. Amen. But I tell you, he's the one that stepped down out of the boat. He's the one that made a step or two on water. Amen. Everybody else stayed in the boat. But I tell you, when he took his eyes off of the Lord, got his eyes on the storm, he began to sink. But even then, our Lord said, he saved him. Amen. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus down and grabbed him and saved him. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in an instant, uncertainty was turned into certainty because the Lord was there with him in the midst of his storm. In a moment of time, uncertainty was turned into certainty. Last Monday, precious lady, I used to be her pastor, had a baby on Friday the week before that. Last Monday, she quit breathing. You talk about uncertainty. Rushed her. She was in the hospital when it happened, or she probably would have never survived. She was not breathing for 2 minutes, and by that time, they had her on life support. And I'm telling you, I got a phone call. We need you to pray. And we begin to pray. And I'm telling you, God, amen, I'm telling you, God, I'm telling you there was uncertainty. But I tell you, thank God, God took the uncertainty, showed up, and made it certain, amen, in her life, in the life of her mother. I went down there on Tuesday, and she was sitting up in the ICU, in the bed, talking just like nothing had ever happened. And she looked at me with tears running down her chin, and she said this to me. She said, I said, honey, is your husband saved? I'd never met her husband. And she said, I'm not sure. She said, but I've been asking God whatever it takes, whatever it takes. You say, that's a serious prayer. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you, God showed up in the midst of that storm and turned that uncertainty into certainty. Now Peter has heard him. Peter has saw him. And Peter has reached and grabbed his hand. And Peter now knows it'll be all right because he's with me in the presence of the storm. His presence is real. I don't know about you. I want you to take the time to read all three of the accounts of this. But the Word of God says, and immediately, Jesus went up in the ship, and the Word of God said, immediately, they were on the other side. I'm telling you, immediately, the waves stopped. Immediately, that was overwhelming them and overcoming them, our Lord was still in control. You know where doubt comes in? It comes in when we doubt that he's still on the throne and he's still in control. I tell you, there's contrary wind. Amen. Contrary wind. Contrary wind. Contrary wind. I'm not going to go into all of it, but policy after policy after policy is contrary to this precious old book. It's contrary wind. I want to say the Bible way this morning. Please don't give up your spot on that oar. Are they with me? Amen. You say, preacher, I can't pull much. Pull what you can. Let God, let it be said of us like it was said of Mary. She hath done what she could. You grab that thing and you pull. You pull. You say, preacher, why? I'll tell you why. We need to pull, Brother John, for Max and Miles. We need to pull for Aubrey and Avery and Aaron. We need to pull for our children. Pull for our grandchildren. Pull for old time religion. And pull till we get to the other side. I'm going to tell you what we do. We'll drop our oar, Brother John, if we don't learn how to be of good cheer right in the middle of the storm. Be of good cheer. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now. God said, listen, there's a couple of things ought to stir you up here. Number one, I've got a purpose in this storm. So I think I'll just keep on pulling, Anthony. I think I'll just keep on pulling. ain't much. But I'm going to pull what I can. Amen. I tell you, I didn't enjoy being at home yesterday morning while y'all was out there knocking on them doors. But I thank God y'all was out there knocking on them doors. We got to keep pulling. We got to keep pulling. God's going to put some more in the choir. God's going to put some more in the family of God. God's going to put some more in Sunday school. God's going to put some more under the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because we just got to keep pulling and keep pulling. There's a storm. Yes, there is. And the wind is contrary. Any old dead fish can float downstream. But we're alive in Christ. And we need to swim upstream for the glory of God. Our families are worth pulling for. We need to be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Because of His purpose. He's got a purpose in the storm. Old Job said, he said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm encouraged when I look out and I see folk that I know have been through unbelievable storms, but they just keep on pulling. Just keep on pulling and keep on pulling. Somebody said one time, the measure of man, the measure of a man is what it takes to get him to quit. Oh, don't quit. I know the winds are contrary. Amen. Do you understand that if this country had its way, you won't even be able to recognize a family as a family? Amen. 20 years from now, I'm telling you right now, I know the winds are contrary. And I know God has a will and God has a way. And we ought to be of good cheer because, number one, He has a purpose. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Why are the winds so contrary? Well, the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. And we know, listen, that they use the word progressive as if man is getting better and better. How many knows that's a lie out of hell? We're getting more wicked by the day. Amen. And the wind is more contrary by the day. But God said, I want you to have joy. I want you to have peace. I want you to know I'm the one in charge of the storm. And be of good cheer. Just keep on rowing. Keep on rowing. He's faithful. He's faithful. Because of His purpose in the storm, we ought to keep on rowing. Because of His presence in the storm, we ought to keep on rowing. Turn to Acts chapter 27 for just a moment. Verse number 22. I might read another verse or two right there. Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul, he told him in the early part of the chapter, he said, I don't think we should sail. And he knew that the autumn equinox was a time when there was great storms on the Mediterranean Sea. He thought it would be better to wait. But nevertheless, this is what they thought. I'm paraphrasing now. But they're saying, what's that old preacher know? That's about what this generation thinks of most preachers that's standing for anything. What's that old preacher, Brother Joe, get up and pray or get up and testify? What's that old man know? I tell you what, Brother Joe, it ain't what you know, it's who you know. It's Jesus. Amen. He knows Jesus. He knows Jesus. Watch this now. The Word of God said here, look up here in verse number 14. The Bible said, but not long after there arose against it, watch this now, a tempestuous wind. So I just wanted you to see the storm now. It's overcoming them again. The ship was caught. They could not bear up into the wind. So we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. And they strake sail and were so driven. So we're driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved. You ever been in a storm so deep that you just thought, oh, all hope is gone? I'm telling you, it's a dark, amen. You can't sense His presence. You can't sense His power. You prayed. You feel like it's bouncing off the ceiling. Watch what the Bible said. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I want you to think about this for a minute. I want you to think about how foolish this man of God looked. Amen. When he stood up, amen. You say, Preacher, what do you mean? Where did that come from? I tell you what, I don't believe he had a part in throwing the tackling overboard. You know what? Paul was not interested in what they could do. Paul was interested in what he could do. I mean, Paul had been down there praying, Brother Deku, getting a hold of God, getting a hold of the one that could do something about the situation. Watch this now. Watch this. I hope this will bless you like it did me. He said, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship. He said, listen, we're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the ship. But not one person on this ship is going to lose his life. I tell you, he looked right ignorant, didn't he? I mean, they bound the thought, this old man has lost his mind. Amen. Kind of like getting up and preaching a message in this generation on be of good cheer. Amen. With the contrary wind that's facing us. Well, watch this now. Watch this. He said here that there shall not be any loss of any man's life, but of the ship. Watch this. For there stood by me, there's the presence of the Lord this night, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, he says it again. I believe Paul's looking at him and saying, Brother Johnny, you didn't get it the first time. I need to say it again. Be of good cheer, because I believe God. It's going to be just like God said it's going to be. That's the way we ought to be in this generation, Brother Houston. We ought to realize this thing's a wrapping up just like God said it would wrap up. And we ought to shout. We ought to be of good cheer. We ought to rail against the contrary wind and keep going for God. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said here, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. God give them all to him. And listen, after a while, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story. Some of those shipmen, they still think they're smarter than that preacher. And so they're letting down them little old dinghy boats under color. In other words, they're camouflaging their actions. They're thinking, we're going to, Paul made them cut the ropes. He said, now listen, you had better stay with the ship or you're not going to make it. Amen. You say, Preacher, what's that got to do with anything in this message? Be of good cheer. We not only see, my friend, His purpose in the storm and His presence in the storm, but we see His promise in the storm. God said, Brother Gary, we're going to make it. Amen. Amen. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. I believe with all my heart this morning, the closer we get, the more contrary the wind will get. But we need to be reminded every once in a while, we're going to make it. We've already read the last chapter in the last book, and we win. Hallelujah. You say, Preacher, why do we win? Because we're on the winning side. A lot of what people like to talk about the Lord being on our side, I believe a better way to talk about that is we're on His side. He's the leader of this outfit. Amen. He's the captain of our salvation. And the Word of God said, watch this now. In verse number 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, watch this now, willing to save Paul, Looks to me like when Paul was standing up in the midst of them and being of good, saying, be of good cheer, when it didn't make no sense at all, looks to me like it got a hold of somebody's heart. Amen. There was a centurion there saying, man, they might think this man's crazy, but I believe he's got a hold of something I need. Amen. And the word of God said right here, that centurion willing to save Paul's life. Watch what he said. He kept them from their purpose. God had a purpose that they would all make it. The centurion wasn't going to let them kill the prisoners. Watch this now. The Bible said here, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. Somebody tell me that next word. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what's the truth right now. If this country has its way, I don't know what the ship's going to look like time we get to glory. You hear me? You hear me well. Amen. They're already, it already came out last week. They said that about the IRS and preachers saying anything about anything, taking the tax exempt status away. Let me just tell you this. That might be where they start. That ain't where they're interested in finishing. We better just get us a piece of board. Amen. Head for the shore. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. It makes me be of good cheer to know that my Lord has a purpose in it all. My Lord will be with us in it all. And my God gave me a promise. When it's all over, we'll all that have been born again stand on the shore on the other side with Him. That blesses my heart. That blesses my heart. Hallelujah. Well, I've got more. I got more in the book, but I don't have more in my body. But God wants us to be of good cheer. I'm so glad He's present. I'm so glad. He said, all things work together. If you ever need that verse of Scripture, it'll be in a storm. The best illustration I can think of that is, you know, some of y'all been coming to that prayer breakfast and Miss Eve makes some biscuits. She even left me one yesterday. She actually left more than one, but that's all I was able to eat was one. And but you take all those individual ingredients. You say, Chance, here, let me give you a spoonful of flour. Man, he's about to choke right now. Somebody get him some water, amen? And then just peel some margarine back. Say, get you a bite of that. Then give him a half a teaspoonful of baking soda. And Miss Eve, I don't know what's in them things. Amen. I need to get her to tell me sometime, amen? But you take all those ingredients individually, and they wouldn't nobody want it. But you put it in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing. You let them roll it out. You let them cut it out. You let them put it in. When that biscuit comes out there, I'm ready. Is anybody with me? Amen. You say, preacher, what's God doing? We don't know sometimes. That's why we call it faith. Sometimes we can't see what He's doing. But we got to trust Him. Even when we can't track Him, we need to trust Him. And we walk by faith. But we need to know this. When He's rolling it out, it hurts. When He's cutting it out, it hurts. When He puts it in the oven, turns the heat up, it hurts. But He's made us a promise. When He takes it all out, we'll be like Him. I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me right there. Amen. To know that someday after a while, I'll be like Him. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You today, God, for the privilege to stand. Oh, God, Lord, the winds are contrary. Lord, I know that There's a design in this world today to break the ship up. Lord, I'm so glad that we're going to make it. You promised, God, we would make it. And I pray, Father, today, you'd help us to realize when we're in the storm, to realize your purpose. If we can't figure it out, just trust you that there is a purpose. To realize your presence. If we can't sense your presence, just by faith to claim your presence. Lord, there was a lot of uncertainty in the disciples' lives. God, will come to places in our lives where there's a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty with our children. Uncertainty, Lord, sometimes with our finances. Uncertainty with our health. Uncertainty with our family. God, I'm asking you today, when we're in the storm, help us to be of good cheer. Help us to realize, God, that, Lord, you want to stand by us just like you did Paul. Help us, Father, today, Lord, just to keep rowing. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Because, Lord, it won't be long and we'll be on heaven's bright shore. I pray, dear God, that our church would just keep that good heart for missions. Keep praying for our missionaries. Keep doing what we can to support missionaries. I pray we just keep rowing. The winds are contrary. Help us to keep rowing. Help us to keep, Lord, teaching. Help us to keep preaching. Help us to keep going out into the highways and the byways. Just to keep rowing. Keep rowing. God, you're looking for faithfulness. God, you've been faithful to us in the storm. Would you help us to be faithful to you? Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our people.